Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Salvation. Am I going to heaven? I am convinced it's the truth of all time. The redemption of a man's soul. What really matters in life? Did you ever stop in your quiet moments and reflect what matters? All of the busyness, all of the things that are going on around us, what matters? I can't say I've got a whole lot of experience with people on their deathbed, but what I do have, I have yet to hear anybody concerned with the cares of this life. They're concerned with family, they're concerned with eternity. Let us remember what matters in life, and I really believe that salvation is the single most important thing that we can ever deal with on the face of this earth. Where will you spend eternity? If there is something more important than that, please tell me, and I'm not being funny. Is there anything more important than where a person will spend eternity? Let us keep that in mind. People can be distracted. Fame, wealth, whether it's pursuit through a business endeavor or whether it is pursuit through the lottery, or heaven forbid, a life of crime. People are into education, looking for meaning in life. I'm not against education. I'm not against hard work. People are into exercise programs. I'm not against exercise. People have all sorts of things. I heard on the radio not all that long ago that yoga now in the United States is a $1 billion business. People are investing a lot of money trying to find meaning and purpose in life. What matters? And yet the scriptures have the answer for us. God gave it to us. Health foods today, and I'm not against eating healthy. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I think we need to take care of ourselves. But I do believe there are people that spend more time investigating a breakfast cereal than they do on where they'll spend eternity. How many grams of fiber, protein, carbs, and on and on. And yet do they spend that much time truly researching God's word? Where will I spend eternity? It is truly the most important thing, and I want to challenge us today to reflect on this. If you are sidetracked, get your thinking. Yes, Pastor Holler, I have never really stopped and thought about it. I've kind of had my own idea or whatever. I want to bring you today to face the truth. There's coming a day every person will face eternity. April 15th, people are scrambling before midnight to get that thing in the mailbox because there's a deadline. Now, you know the April 15th deadline for the IRS. We don't know our deadline with God. Some of us, it might be today. Some, it might be many, many years from now. We don't know. But why would we delay the most important decision of all time when we don't know? I want us to begin our study this morning in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what if you gain the whole world? In one of his vainer moments, Napoleon was sitting with his secretary, and he said to the secretary, "You know, you're going to go down in history." And the secretary said, "Why do you say that?" Napoleon said, "Why, because you're my secretary." And the secretary said, "Name Alexander the Great's secretary." And of course, he couldn't do it. I have no clue who Napoleon's secretary is. And the truth is, history will remember very few of us. And even those that it does remember won't remember everything. I'm sure there's probably someone in here, or maybe a couple of you, that can name the vice presidents of the United States. Do you think that's an important position? Yeah, I do. But do we really remember them? It's not that I have anything against them. I've got better things to remember. I've challenged this one before. How many of us in this room can name the head of the United Nations? This world's not going to remember us. How many of you can name the emperors of Rome? At its time, peak of its power, the greatest empire in the face of the earth. We don't know who they were. But you know this, they're all dead. And they've all had to face eternity. I wonder how many of them wish they could have gone back and done it over. God only knows that. Is there anything more important than where you will spend eternity? If not, then let's take a few minutes and really see what the Bible has. We have a heaven tract. The front cover says, which religion gets you to heaven? It lists a total of 16. I'll just real quick, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopal, Jewish, Muslim, Mormon, Lutheran, 16 of them in total. Which one gets you to heaven? You open it up. You know what it says? None. None. But you're a Baptist. Yeah, I know. Being a Baptist will not buy you one second in heaven. It really doesn't. You could join every church in town. It won't buy you one second in heaven. We have to research what the scriptures say. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The most precious thing you own is your soul. That soul is going to live forever. Have you decided and provided for where you will spend eternity? I hope so. This is not a game. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. He wrote this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." He's writing, I wasn't deceived. I saw Christ walk on water. I saw 4,000 fed. I saw 5,000 fed. I saw the dead brought back to life. I saw the empty tomb. I saw the miracles. This isn't a game. I'm not deceived. What I have written to you is true. God sent his Son. He did those miracles. He died, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. This isn't a cunningly devised fable. I saw it. Peter says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. I saw it. I saw it. Listen to me. Folks, Christianity is not a game. You don't opt out of it. The truth is, you can choose to not vote in an election. Did you know you're still subject, though, to those that win? You can opt out of church. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go to church anymore. You're still subject to the spiritual world. And you cannot undo your day before God. You don't opt out. You can pretend it's not there, but pretending does not alter truth. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. April 10th, 1912. The RMS Titanic left port at Southampton, England, for New York, under the command of Captain John Smith. Up to that time, it was the most luxurious ship ever built, at the cost of $7.5 million in those days. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money today. That's a lot of money then. 4 short days later, April 14th, the Titanic met with disaster. As it was racing through the North Atlantic at 22.5 knots, it was heading into dangerous waters. Warning messages were being sent from other ships telling of the ice field and the imminent danger thereof. Warnings came to the Titanic from the Caronia, the America, the Baltic, the Nordam, the Lutterain, the Mesaba, and the Californian. Warning, Titanic, there is danger ahead. Some of those were literally acknowledged back, I got your message, and even posted on the Titanic, and yet ignored. They continued to race on through the ice field. Titanic had a wireless operator. Today we call them radios. Well, in those days they had Morse code. They called it a wireless. The wireless operator's name was Jack Phillips, and he was sending passengers messages from the ship to Newfoundland in Canada. And he is sending their messages back and forth. Between 5 and 20 miles away was a ship, there's debate how close they were, was a ship called the Californian. And the radio operator on the Californian was sending loud and clear, danger. You're heading into great danger. We have stopped because of the danger. You need to stop too. The wireless operator of the Titanic was disturbed because it kept breaking up his transmissions and he couldn't get his work done. And he finally radioed to the Californian these words, "Keep out, shut up, you're jamming my signal." The Californian turned off his radio and went to bed. At 11:40 that night, the Titanic collided with the iceberg. And within 3 hours, it broke in two and sank at 2:20 in the morning. On board, there were 2,227 passengers and crew. only 705 survived because they wouldn't listen. The warning was very loud and clear. You're headed for danger. I tried to tell you. And unfortunately, people are headed for eternity, not heeding the warnings. There really is eternity, and we're going to have to face it. Oh, don't let it be that someday you look back and say, I wish I would have listened. Listen today. But how do we know the Bible's true? I mean, isn't it a bunch of ancient Hebrew writings? Let's just take a look at a few things today as we get into this. In Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 19, Paul writes these words, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. How did he show it? For the invisible things of him from the creation. We did not evolve, folks. From the creation of the world are clearly seen. You go out and look at the trees and look at the birds and look at the sky, and God says, you clearly see creation and you see my power. Being understood by the things that are made. Do you understand by things that are made? Take a model airplane and put it in a paint shaker. How long would you have to shake till an airplane came out? It doesn't happen by chance. It happens by design. You can shake that model airplane till time is no more. It's not going to come out a model airplane. It's going to come out a bunch of broken pieces. So it is with this world. Did we really just happen? God told us, I created it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The invisible things, when you go outside and look at a tree, remember, God says, that is proof of me. Here's another one that gives us evidence that God's word is true. How about prophecy? How about this one? Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is written hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old. He's Jesus Christ, who had no beginning and no end. This is referring to Christ. He is going to be born in Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before he was born. What happened at Christ's birth? Mary and Joseph had to be moved from Nazareth. Isn't that amazing that God moved the Roman government to tax, so they had to go down at the time Christ would be born? Hundreds of years before. Earthly speaking, we'd be wringing our hands. Oh no, she's not going to be in Bethlehem. God says, would you relax? I got the whole thing in control. My word's true. How about this one? The resurrection of Jesus Christ after he was crucified. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God bruised his own son to pay for the sin of the world. And he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He paid the ultimate price. He gave his life for sin. He shall prolong his days. The resurrection. God's word is true. Hundreds of years before it happened. So we can trust God's word. Prophecy tells us that. Creation tells us that. Did you ever think about this? How many religions are there? Two. The Bible tells us that there are only two religions. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, talking about salvation, if salvation is by grace, then it's no more of works. It can't be grace and works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it, salvation, be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, what this is saying is, salvation, either you've got to do something to please God, or it's grace. God gives it to you, free and clear. One or the other. 10th grade, world cultures class. Our teacher assigned a religion study. We had approximately 25, 30 kids in the class. We were each assigned one of the world's religions. I was assigned Zoroastrianism. And each one of the students got up and made their presentation before the class, the teachings of that religion. When it was all over, the teacher got up. And this is not an exact quote, but I do remember the whole gist of what he said. Do you see that all religions are the same? You have to do something to please your God. I look back now. That's true, if you take Christianity out of the picture. True Christianity. You see, true salvation is not what man does. It's what God did, and we receive the gift of his work. That is salvation. I want to take a few minutes here and go through key points to salvation. Let us start out with the first thing that we need to understand concerning our salvation. We've all sinned. Please take a look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person. I have, you have, and every person that's ever been born is a sinner. Every person's a sinner. And the Bible tells us that. All have sinned. Not only have we sinned, we've come short of the glory of God. We fall short of the glory of God. You have to see your need for a Savior before you can get saved. Your dashboard has either got indicating lights or else it's got meters that tell you something's wrong. That meter starts to tell you something's wrong, and then you start to react to it. Folks, we need to realize in our mind, yes, I am a sinner. Because if you don't see that you're a sinner, you don't need a Savior. But the truth is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now that it is, we have sin on us. What happens with that sin? Well, God tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Now, wait a minute. If you're telling me that everybody has sinned and the wages of sin is death, we're all going to hell. Death is separation from God. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. But keep listening. You see, the wages. In other words, when you go to work at the end of the week or whatever the time period is, your employer gives you a paycheck. It's the wages for what was done. God says the wages of sin, here it is, here's your paycheck, death. You heard about the employee? He got his paycheck and it had $50 too much on his paycheck. He didn't say anything. Next week he got a paycheck, $50 short. He went to the boss and said, hey, paycheck's $50 short. The boss said, you know what? I happen to know that last week your paycheck was $50 too much and you didn't say anything. He says, no, that's exactly my point. I can handle one mistake on my paycheck, but not two. And so it is. We're sinners, therefore the logical and the only true response to God is I have to give you the wages of that, and that is eternal death. I want you to understand this too. God's eternal heaven is a perfect place. And to go there, we have to be perfect. Take a look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, the eternal heaven, anything that defileth. No sin can enter heaven, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No sin is going to enter God's heaven. Okay, let's get this right now. You tell me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, you tell me that the wages of sin is death. Yes. And number three, you tell me that no sin is going to enter heaven. That's true. That's true. Let's keep going. Nothing that man can do to get rid of his sin. There is nothing in our flesh that we can do. Let us read Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace, undeserved mercy, are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves! That does not take a deep theologian and Greek scholar to understand what not of yourselves means. It means it's not of yourself. It is a gift. Do you attach an invoice when you give out a Christmas present? I hope not, because it's not a gift anymore. A gift is a gift. Not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, I can work my way to heaven. That's like getting out to California and everybody starts in the ocean. We're all going to swim to Hawaii. No one's going to make it. The truth is, some will do better than others. But the truth is, all are going to sink. If we compare ourselves, well, I made it further than so-and-so, you know what? You may be able to justify that your behavior is better than somebody else. But I'm not a drug addict, murderer, blah, 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 whatever it is. Okay, I believe you. But you still fall short of the glory of God, and you're not going to swim to Hawaii. You will never, ever be good enough to God's level of perfection that he demands. God does not look at the whole lot of humanity and grade on a curve. He says, I have a requirement. No sin will enter heaven. None. God looked down at our helpless condition. He saw that all mankind was of a fallen race. All have come short of the glory of God. All deserve the wages of sin, which is death. He realized that this does prevent people from coming to his eternal heaven. he realizes that there is nothing that these people can do. In his mercy, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Let us take a look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, referring to God, hath made him, referring to Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. He came down and took the sin payment. Who knew no sin? Jesus was perfect, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we trust Jesus Christ and his sacrificial payment, God says, I will literally give you my righteousness. Well, if God gives us his righteousness through Jesus Christ, no longer do we fall short of the glory of God. We now have got the righteousness of God the Father. Hey, listen, you do understand this is God's word. This is not Baptist doctrine. This is Bible. For he hath made him to be sin for us. You mean he'll take this burden on me, from me? Yes. He took the burden. So what must we do to be saved? We must believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God that paid the sin debt of the world when he hung on that cross. John 3:16, probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world, every sinner, everyone that has fallen short of the glory of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes. Do you believe Jesus Christ paid your sin debt? If you do, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to be a Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, and go down the line. It's what the Bible says. All we need to do is trust the work that Jesus Christ did on that cross. Put our trust in him. He paid it. It's not me. It's not my good works. It's what Christ did. That's salvation. Take a look at 1 John 5:13. These things, the Apostle John writes, these things have I written unto you that believe. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior? Do you believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know? Not think, hope, or maybe. Well, I think I'm going to heaven when I die. Folks, I know I'm going to heaven because God's word said it. These things have I written unto you that believe. I believe that. Then you know you have eternal life. You know it. If I get killed in a car accident this afternoon, I'm going to heaven. I know that. Why? Because I'm a nice guy? No, because I believe on the name of the Son of God, he paid my sin debt. When I stand before God, why should I let you in my eternal home? Because he paid it. I'm not going to stand there and say it's because I was a preacher. It's because he paid it. Those nail-scarred hands paid it. And you know what he gives us? Eternal life. I want you to think about that. Can you lose it? How can you lose eternal by definition? If you could lose it, he didn't give you eternal life, he gave you temporary probation. Well, I sinned again. I lost it, so I better get saved again. And then I sin again. I better get saved again. That's not how it works. You trust Christ as your Savior in the quietness of your mind. Lord, I believe that. Jesus paid it. It's not my good works. Salvation, eternal life. You're a child of God. Can you become unborn from your parents? You can't become unborn from God once you're born again. But wait a minute. What about the Old Testament law? Didn't they have to obey the Ten Commandments? Let's take a look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the law of Moses back there in the early books of the Bible, was our schoolmaster. Did you ever try to read Leviticus? It's challenging. Try to keep it. Do you know what you conclude if you try to keep that law? I can't do it. That's the exact lesson that the schoolmaster wanted you to learn. The schoolmaster wanted you to learn you cannot do it. It's not your works. The schoolmaster wants you to know you can't do it. You need a Savior. That's the whole lesson of the law. I can't do this, dear God. You pass. And it leads you to the Savior. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Lord, I can't do the law. Someone else must fulfill it for me. They looked forward to the Messiah to come. We look backward in time to the Messiah that came, Jesus Christ. As we look back in the Old Testament, we see pictures of Christ. Take a look at Christ's word. After he rose again, there was the crucifixion, He was in the tomb and then he rose again. Look what he said after he rose again. Luke 24:44. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled," listen to this, "which are written in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses," that's the Old Testament, "the law of Moses speaks of Christ, and in the prophets they speak of Christ, and in the Psalms they speak of Christ, concerning me," Christ said. When you read the law of Moses, when you read the prophets, when you read the Psalms, you will find the truth of Jesus Christ to come. Now that's all been completed. Now we look back. They looked forward. And that law was telling them, you can't do it. You need a Savior. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gospel was the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. It has been, it is, and it always will be salvation by grace apart from any works. I want to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden to see this point. The gospel's not changed. Take a look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Adam and Eve have sinned. They've taken of the forbidden fruit. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. Where did he get a coat of skin? He killed an innocent animal and shed its blood to cover Adam and Eve, because what did they do? They took leaves and tried to cover themselves. God said, your works are inadequate. It's not of works. It's shed blood of an innocent one. And the Lord God, as he sent his son, Jesus Christ, he took those animals and slaughtered them and made coats of skin. How did Adam and Eve get them? They simply had to take them. God said, here, please take the free gift. That's what God is doing to us today. I'm offering the free gift of eternal life. Please take it. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to give money. You don't have to take communion. Am I against these things? No. But that's not salvation. If you had to raise your hand, that's good works. If you had to do water baptism, that's good works. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Adam and Eve found salvation the same way we do. They took those coats of skins, which were symbolic of the Lamb of God to come, Jesus Christ. We look back. The debt's been paid in full. How did Abraham, back in Genesis, get saved? Genesis 15:6. He, Abraham, believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith. I believe. It hasn't changed. They didn't have to obey the law in the Old Testament. They had to obey the law only enough to realize, I can't do it. And it was to drive them to a Savior. There are two religions. One says, whether you call it whatever, Zoroastrianism, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, you have to do something to please your God. If you have to be water baptized, you are doing something to please God. The Bible says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Let this hand represent you, me, every sinner that ever came on this earth. Let this billfold represent sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, every person had a sin debt. The wages of sin is death. If we die with this on us, we're going to spend eternity in hell. The Bible tells us that. But God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want us to have this and keep us out of his eternal heaven. He loves us too much. So what did he do? Let this hand represent Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us. When he hung on that cross, he took your sin debt and my sin debt. He died. He rose again, showing the sin debt was paid. How do you go to heaven? When you realize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, it's not my good works, it's what Jesus did. Lord God, I see it. I cannot earn my way to heaven. I can join every church in town. It won't matter. It's what Jesus did. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, not historically, but for a saving faith, Lord, I believe that. Jesus died for me. Should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.